This is Wheels on Fire, an absolutely fabulous podcast.
I'm Cooper, a super fan since season one.
I'm Leo. I've seen the early episodes hundreds of times, but I don't know the later ones quite so well.
And I'm Peter. I was a casual viewer over the years, but it's been great watching them with fresh eyes and new best friends and getting fully immersed in the show's true genius.
So pour yourself a glass of champagne, sweetie, and join us as we revisit another fabulous episode.
Tired of your poor old sad old best friend? Well, now's the time to give him the elbow and spend some quality time with your brand new bestie.
This is episode 4 from season 2, New Best Friend.
Don't forget your Zimmer frame.
You're right. I don't know why, but my heart was really racing when we did that.
Why?
Really?
I don't know. You're not a seasoned professional by now.
I should be by now.
It might have been that espresso martini I just made you.
Oh, true.
Yeah, I need a little pick-me-up. It's very hot in the Wheels very on Fire shot, very, recording very lounge yeah. today.
We've got the fans on, so if you hear a slight hum, no, that isn't my...
Undercarriage,
that is the fan. I was going to say my anus. My anus is humming.
You buzz.
I remember once when we were kids, we went round my friend's house and we went up into her and her brother. We went up into her bedroom and because they knew where her mum kept a vibrator and they got it out. And like, we did. I don't know if we really knew what, I mean, I didn't know what it was, but we knew it was naughty and we turned it on and then it buzzed. And then we went down into the kitchen and we all stood in the kitchen at her mum laughing. And mum was going, "What are you not laughing at?" And we just looked at her mum and all started going, "Buzz."
And then Leon went round there every day after school.
They never had me back.
Yeah.
How are we, boys? I mean, we've been hanging out today, so.
Yeah.
It's been nice to spend the afternoon. We don't usually spend the afternoon together and then record. We usually
record quick sticks.
Meet up, record quick sticks, 4-hour recording.
No, but I mean, it's like as I come in.
And then, yeah.
True story.
And it's late now, so it's nearly 9 o'clock at night, so this is going to be a late one.
So this is like Wheels on Fire, the late night session.
Post-Watershed.
It's like when Hollyoaks did, like...
They went like clubbing and then there was like sex scenes in it. Yeah. It was after 9, I think it was after 10. It was really late. We all stayed up at uni to watch it.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like the late show.
So we can be a little bit more explicit.
Or we can be a bit more risque because usually we really hold back.
Do we? We're a bit prudish normally.
Right. Well, what have we been up to? What's going on?
Well, I started back at the gym this week and I've been crippled since Wednesday.
All three of us have been on it. And I did actually post on the stories about the three of us being like fully into our... diet and fitness at the moment. So having a few glasses of champagne today, it's going to sort me out because we've been pretty good.
Little treat.
I've got to show you some stretches, Peter, to really, you know.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Late night.
It is late night. So
find the video on our OnlyFans.
Maybe I should do them on Instagram live.
Cooper's going to show Peter how to really open up his poussoir. Can I say poussoir on this show?
I don't know if anyone would know what it is, but I'd definitely show him how to open his third eye with that stretch.
But as we know, pain is beauty.
Exactly.
Yeah, beauty,
no pain, no gain.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So y'all better get to stepping.
Well, I'm trying, but my legs don't work. What have you been up to?
Good question. Death Stranding is a word. I've become a little bit obsessed. Words. That's two words, yeah. Death Stranding. A bit obsessed. Another video game. It's basically just a glorified Uber delivery game with ghosts.
You two do a lot of video games.
I give it a try.
Why would you want to live in the real world right now?
Yeah, well.
Busy with... gardening and
you're quite green fingered, aren't you, Coop?
Very green fingered.
What does that say about you? Sorry,
smell my finger. Smell my pusswag.
Oh my god, people won't know what a pusswag is. That's my word.
Explain it because I don't know.
Sorry,
a pusswag is
it's the bit underneath.
Sorry, pusswag.
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 Does it sound sexy when I say it in my voice?
Pusswag is just like, I think it does. Is it a generic word that just means like groin?
Yeah.
So like, you know when you do those stretches where you really stretch open like your inner bit. My obsession of the, it's just my obsession of the summer is Queen Herbie.
Don't we know it?
If anyone doesn't know, Queen Herbie is the artist formerly known as Carmen, who did, what was those Carmen songs?
Broken Hearted.
I've been waiting all day.
I mean, that's what I sang. I think I was off key a little.
No, but so she went away. When they were calming, they were under a record label and they were like really controlled and they went away. And she came back and she's like a rapstress.
And I always forget, was it her husband or her brother?
It's her husband.
Yeah. Are they still married?
They are. Yeah. He does all the production. They're very cute. They make all the music.
I do like their whole kind of ethos on it. Oh. Yeah, not their whole.
not their pissoir.
I just like how I like how they do the thing they do, which is produce music, music.
And you know what? I don't hear it. I just like hitting on it because you bum it so much. Because he likes
it. It's like us here. They make it all in their own home. You know, there's no frills around it. And they make it happen. Just, you know, they're independent artists.
And our little song, Sugar, is one of our couple songs.
Yeah, it is. We made a video together, me and Cooper, when we went on a little road trip in Italy. And we used the Carmen song called Sugar. Yeah. On that.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, that's what I've been into. You know, it's so hot.
Mm. I hadn't noticed.
When I poured us out a drink of water just now.
It evaporated.
I was putting ice in the drinks. So I was like, God, I think we're going to run out of ice. And I refilled the ice tray and put it in. I was like, this is not going to freeze. And do you know what I thought? I thought, I wish I had a fridge like Ed, Dean and Monsoon with a quick freeze. And you know, we always
talk about... Was it a quick freeze in the end?
You know, we always talk about that middle shelf on the fridge. Shelf. If you've listened to the podcast before, we always talk about the middle shelf on Eddie's fridge and we say, what is it? And we kind of agreed that we think it's probably a quick freeze. Somebody messaged on the Wheels on Fire Instagram.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry now to the person who did message, but I did screenshot it, but I didn't write their name in my notes. They said there's an episode coming up, and you guys, you might know this, Cooper, where Saf is putting sticky notes on all the things in the house. Post-it notes.
Because she goes to university, so Eddie can function.
Knows what everything is. Yeah. And she puts a sticker on that middle shelf that says something like quick freeze. So we were right. It is the quick freeze.
Yeah.
There you go. And, you know, on the point of it being really hot, I think I'm going to have to crack open some champagne straight away because I need to wet my whistle.
And maybe just climb into the fridge.
Yeah, before we get into this one. Mm. Because this is a good episode. New Best Friend. When I watched it back recently, I know I say this quite a lot on the latest episodes, but it's such a good episode. It's so funny. And like, because I said last time with Morocco, there's so many lines in there that we use all the time. There's so many in this that we use all the time as well.
Yeah. Some fabulous cast. We're joined by...
Oh my God, it's like the Wonder Women of comedy.
Yeah,
at one point.
It really is. So,
should we do a quick roll call of everyone?
Yeah, please. You've got the list.
Rita Skeeter.
Bettina Skeeter.
Otherwise known as the one and only Miranda Richardson.
And we've got Helen Lederer, Harriet Thor.
Yep. And we've got Lulu.
Britt Eklund.
Yeah.
Mira Sayal.
Zandra Rhodes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Zandra.
Mm-hmm. Adrian Edmondson pops up. Joe Brand.
Oh, I said Joe Brand already. Oh. It's a good one.
They're all in this one. So should we pop a champagne bottle and have a drink?
Let's do it.
Oh, and something else. With the champagne, this episode, we've got the new glasses.
Yeah.
So we...
The champagne. We'd seen they're this not post. Flutes, they're...
Tulips. Tulip glasses, darling. Oh. Like the flower. We saw...
The aeration or
we
something.
Looked on like all the champagne Instagrams, all the top houses that we follow. They've been posting their bottles of champagne with these tulip glasses. And I was like, what's all that about? And I saw this post and it said about it makes the champagne taste nicer and you can smell it better and it aerates it and it's all better all around and everyone's doing it, darling. So... We thought, why are we not?
Slave to trends. Yeah, we're going
to
do it.
Slave to trends, just like Eddie Monsoon. So we pushed those flutes. We've got rid of the champagne flutes.
We just chucked them out the window.
We gave them to a charity shop.
We gave them to the
second chances.
So we gave them to Second Chances. Not the old Nick and Knack and Brick and Back and Things.
No,
to Second Chances. And we now have a nice new set of tulip glasses. So I'm going to pop that. And at the same time as popping that, not only have we got new glasses, but... I'm just thrilling you with everything today, Peter.
Ooh.
We've got our taste test between two. It's Battle of the Rosés.
Is it a blind one?
It's not going to be blind. Oh, okay. I mean, maybe it should be. I can do blind if you want. All right, we'll do a blind taste test. Battle of the Rosés between Veuve Clicquot Rosé, classic Veuve Clicquot Pink Label Rosé, and an English sparkling rosé, Hush Heath Estate, Tesco Finest, available at Tesco, Sparkling English Rosé. So I'm really interested because it's about half the price of the Veuve Clicquot. That might not be true. I need to check that. Here is the cork popping on the Veuve.
Ooh. Oh, I mean, that was a quality cork. Yeah,
oof. Here is the Hush Heath.
Ooh. Oh, actually, that sounds lovely. Indistinguishable.
Yeah. Oh, that stem on that glass is fucking lovely.
Holy shit. How does that stay up?
I know. Look at it.
Oh, I don't like it. It's too delicate.
So the first thing I want to remark on these tulip glasses that we've got, they're absolutely beautiful. They're LSA tulip glasses. I think they actually call them Prosecco glasses. Well, it's just it leaves a residue. So leave it. Don't peel it off, just leave it. They're really delicate. And you can see, if you look, there are more bubbles coming out of the glass because the tulips, it's wider and it can get more air into the champagne. And so it's going to make it taste nicer. And if you pick up your tulip glass and then you want to have a little smell, because it's big,
I swear to God, I feel like I'm
going to really
snap it.
You can really smell the champagne.
You can get your nostril right.
It's got such a tiny stem.
Peter, it's really expensive glass. Be careful. Be careful, Peter.
Shut up.
I feel like if I squeeze too hard, it's just going to snap.
Right. Okay. So first thing, look at the color of these two champagnes.
Someone hasn't had enough water, whoever's given these samples.
So one is a really dark.
Also, I've got a bit of blood
on it. Dark. One's quite a deep pink color. And the other one, it barely even looks like a rosé, just
no,
a champagne.
Yeah. No, it's just a champagne.
Right, let's have a taste of the pale one, first of all.
Pale ale.
Okay, cheers, okay, please.
Cheers.
Bottoms up.
It's very sweet.
Okay. I feel like if you're a Lambrini girl, you'll enjoy that flavour. Nice, sweet, refreshing. It's like a sweet, summery, sit outside in the garden sort of flavour, isn't it?
Dessert wine.
Right. Now we're going to taste the more pink one with the very, very delicate stem.
Honestly, I can't cope with how thin these are. I feel like they're going to break if we cheers.
No.
Oh, they survived.
Chin chin.
I mean, that's nice. It's not as sweet.
It's nowhere near
as sweet.
Because
that one before has left a right sweet taste on the back of my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dark one's definitely a lot less sweet, for sure. Drier.
Yeah.
Which do you think is nicer and why?
The paler one is going to be the cheaper one because it's the sweeter one. The first one that we tried, sweeter is usually a sign of that it's not as expensive.
It doesn't look like a rosé. It was really sweet, but it was nice enough. I mean, I'm going to say...
The second one feels like I'm a fancier dude.
This feels more...
The darker one.
The darker one, the more rosé colour one. Number two.
Yeah. I think you could get sick of the sweeter one quicker because it's sweeter.
Do you know what? Doing all these episodes has really turned you two. You two have changed. It's turned you into right snobby bitches because you've both gone for the Verve Clicquot. Well, darker, deeper, full-bodied, a much more...
Darker.
And I had my spray tan done. I went for the Tahitian Princess, which is like a little bit darker than the other girls.
Darker. Tahitian Princess.
Tahitian Princess.
Darker.
Cheers to Verve Clicquot. The established classic brand is our winner. So cheers, guys. Let's get into this episode. This is New Best Friend, and this is my new best champagne.
I like the opening for this episode. It's just, you know, you think it's standard ab fab. Someone comes down the stairs, starts talking to whoever's there, but then they have a little twist on it because... And Eddie doesn't really realise that nobody's there. She's just talking to herself.
It's almost a repeat of the beginning of the Morocco episode where Eddie comes running down the stairs and she's like, oh, God, flustered. Oh, God, sweetie.
Oh, God, sweetie, what a day.
This has gone on. This has happened. All these things are happening. But this time, Saf's not there.
Yeah.
She's talking to herself.
She hasn't realised yet. Because she just wants to talk. She doesn't really care who she's talking to.
She's just in a world of her own. She's in Eddie world. Mm. Everyone listen to this.
Yeah, Eddie is kind of like coming down the stairs and doing her usual rant.
I'm not going into the office today because Bettina and Max are coming and I want to clear the whole house up for them, darling.
About
what a day. What a day.
Freaking hell. God, Jesus Christ, I work so bloody hard.
And we get a little bit of setup that Bubble's gone.
Yeah.
Bubble's not there anymore. She's gone.
Well, there's more than just a little bit of setup in what Eddie's saying here because she says a couple of things. She says something about no work on.
Let them pay her, darling, while we've got no work on.
We know that the next episode in the series is going to be poor when Eddie's really run out of work and we don't want to say too much about that episode. This is foreshadowing what comes. And I quite like that.
Should I keep that in mind for next episode?
Maybe you should. And I like when there's a story arc that goes across the whole season. And something else Eddie says here, which is a setup for the entire rest of the history of AbFab, right the way to the movie. And we never knew it at this point. We just thought it was a bit of a joke, a bit funny. When Eddie says Bubble's been given some pathetic junior position at Marie Claire.
Bubble's not there anymore, she's gone. I mean, someone offered her a pathetic junior post at Marie Claire.
In this episode, we see Bubble have, like, in one day, this meteoric rise to success.
Yeah.
Because I think when you watch this episode, you just laugh at this joke as if Bubble got made an editor. But this is a setup for we know there's maybe more to Bubble than has met the eye so far.
Yeah.
So, darling, sweet...
Do you think Eddie is just never at home on her own?
There's always someone there.
She's genuinely quite unsettled by this.
Darling.
There's no one there and she's freaking out.
She's shook.
Yeah.
Somebody's always in the kitchen when I come down.
I like the outfit.
Look at how I'm dressed today. Minimalist, darling.
She's dressed minimalism.
You said it then.
Did I say it? I've been trying to say that bloody word for the last bloody half an hour.
Minimalism.
Minimalism. Yeah, I did it again.
She sort of looks like she should be in wet, wet, wet.
Yes. The Le Croix is out. She's got Le Croix on. It's very minimal for Eddie.
And then Eddie does something very weird.
This is strange.
She turns to face the window and she starts looking at the window in quite a peculiar way. She looks really like unsettled by this.
Yeah, she's shook.
Yeah. And you hear the sound, you hear a car go past, you hear footsteps. A fly buzzing.
Yeah.
And then you hear the footsteps come down.
Buzz.
Buzz. What do you get arrested for?
Attitude.
Why do you have attitude? Oh, because I'm always buzzed.
Oh, God.
So how do you get arrested for attitude?
Because I'm always buzzed.
R.I.P.
Saf nearly gives Eddie a heart attack.
Yeah. She was really fixated on that fly.
She was in another world.
Yeah, she was really staring at that fly, really
studying
checking it out.
Fly.
Yeah.
You were checking the fly, weren't you?
Eddie's obviously taken some hard narcotics.
Oh, she's a little bit wired.
She's probably wired.
I'm always buzzed.
She just took some coke, though. So she says.
Yeah.
So she says.
Yes.
Patsy had the ecstasy.
Yeah.
That's a little coke, sweetie. Patsy had the ecstasy, sweetie.
So who knows?
Would she not be like that then?
I mean,
I feel like she'd be like on edge.
She might be on edge.
For both, they're both uppers, right? Yeah. So I've heard.
So Eddie is frightened by Saf, and I would be fucking frightened too seeing that fucking jumper.
I can't decide if I love or hate the jumper.
Really?
Is it sheep?
I'm not sure. I think I could maybe wear that in the winter.
Sheep or shit?
Welcome to the Sydney Gaze.
Keeping up with the Kardashians.
Shake or shit.
Shake.
Shake.
Peter.
Shake.
Shake.
I think it's shit.
I think it's shit.
I'm not sure which one you said.
I reckon they're shit.
I reckon they're pretty shit too.
It's the jumper that she was wearing in a lot of the promo pictures for season two. Yeah. In fact, it's in one of our Wheels on Fire promo pictures.
Yeah.
Saf. So Saf has scared the shit out of Eddie by creeping up on her behind, even though she was clomping along. What creeping. Fucking shoes was Saf wearing to make that
clomp? She came down silent?
Yeah. No. You can hear her. Listen to the sound really? Saf's shoes make as she comes down the stairs. Clomp, clomp, clomp.
Play the tape.
Oh, what are you wearing, Saf? You bug. You think the fly on the window is the bug in this scene? Saf is the bug.
That's outside.
That's Saf coming down the stairs.
It's not.
Clomp, clomp, clomp.
I think I always thought it was outside.
It's the pedestrians outside.
What, echoing?
Look. Oh, no, yeah, I think it's
someone walking
by.
It's the street outside.
What, it's like, what, does Safi walk down the stairs and just wait for ages? Because it's far too early.
That's the pedestrians walking past her because she's looking. Because her kitchen is down in a basement with the street level just above it.
Why is her street... You haven't got Marble Street. I know she lives in...
But it's just sound effects, babe. But that is the street outside. That's not Safi.
I think Safi comes down silently.
Oh, yeah. Safi's in a brothel creepers then.
Yeah, Safi just glides down.
Safi just slid down the banister side saddle. Yeah. Hi, Mum.
Very boppy.
Mum.
Safi just came down the stairs like the Stella McCartney challenge. She just slid down the stairs.
She hit the crash mat at the bottom. We got the crash mat from season one out.
Don't you ever just go and leave me on my own like that.
I was upstairs.
Even when I was watching it before, I hadn't realised, but it's because she's wired. That's why she's like so on edge.
Yeah.
Because she's been up all night and she's been out with Patsy.
Yeah, and that's what Safi says. She's like, what did you take last night? Because you're being a fucking weirdo. Yeah. Why are you being so weird again, Mum? For fuck's sake. Mm. What are you looking at the fly for? It's not Jeff Goldblum. It was a film.
Jeff Goldblum.
You watched it 10 years ago. What's the matter with you?
It's been 10 years since you saw that film, and I didn't think you still did that.
I don't think I've ever seen The Fly.
Really? It's such a good film. Isn't it? Is it Gina Davis?
Yeah.
Gina Davis and Jeff Goldblum, you know, when they reprise their roles from... Have you seen Earth Girls Are Easy that they're in? You've seen that?
No.
Oh my God, we need to have a Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis night where we watch.
I love Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park where he lies and he gets his chest out and the shirt's like undone and he does that bit. It's so hot.
Jeff Goldblum is hot.
He's handsome.
Totally hot.
And I love him in
Drag Race. He's so like perceptive and he's just quite sexy.
He's like one of the most charismatic men.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah.
To look at him on paper, I wouldn't put him down as typically the sort of guy I'd go for, but you spend 10 minutes in his company and you're like,
you'd be wet.
Melting.
Wet and gushing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Call me Cardi B.
Yeah. Now make it rain if
you want to see some wet and gushy. Yeah, he's gorgeous. But in The Fly, he becomes a mutated mess.
Yeah. Do you know what? And if you've seen what happens to him in The Fly, then it would traumatise you. So I understand why Eddie is traumatised by having watched The Fly.
Are there any moments from films that have fucked you up, Leon?
So when I was a kid once, I remember, I was quite young. I was probably only about 6 or 7. And I remember creeping down the hallway because I didn't want to go to bed. And my mum had the telly on. And I crept down the hallway and I was sat. She couldn't see that I was watching the telly. And there was a programme about, like in London, rats in people's houses coming up through their toilets.
Oh, God.
And it showed this scene of someone lifting up their toilet seat and all these rats in there. And no lie, until I was about 19, until I left home to go to uni, I couldn't sit on a toilet seat ever. I used to like hover over it, looking back. I was convinced the rat was going to come up out the toilet, and that traumatized me.
But you'll be laughing the other side of your face the day you squash something with a little tiny human head against that window, darling.
So I'm feeling Eddie's, you know, trauma.
That's funny you say about the toilet, because a film that fucked me up for a long time and I couldn't sit on the toilet was Critters. In this one bit, they went up the pipe and come up the toilet and bit the man's arsehole off.
Critters is like a low-budget like Gremlins. Yeah.
Gremlins is good, and Gremlins needs to come back.
But imagine imagine an Eddie and Patsy Gremlins. What they would look like.
You and your little gremlin generation here.
Peter, any films that have fucked you up?
Man. Dawson's 50 Ludwig.
The only person fucked up by that was Dawson.
Dawson, yeah. Even now, I don't think I would ever stand in front of the mirror and say Candyman 3 times.
Oh, really?
I would never do that.
No.
Oh my God, remember when we used to go out in XXL? So if anyone who doesn't...
I wouldn't say Candyman 3 times anywhere there either.
XXL was like a big... Would you call it a super club? It was a super club, wasn't it?
It was a super club.
But there was that bouncer there who I always thought he looked like Candyman, and he used to stand there staring at you as you went in and out the dark room, and you think, oh, he's judging me.
Is it the blonde one?
No, the black geezer with the dreadlocks. Oh. As if the blonde one looked like Candyman.
What? This just moved across the table.
Fuck off.
That moved. I think the fan blew it across the table.
That fan's not on.
This moved.
Fuck off.
This moved. That moved.
If it moved, there'd be a watermark.
No, don't, because I'm getting shivers on my like neck. Don't.
That moved. I swear to God, it moved.
Is it because we said it, Fred? Stop.
The champagne tulip just moved across the table.
I swear to God, it moved. I had to...
Do you know what? This is because we're doing it at night time, and this is the late night podcast.
This is freaking me out.
No, mate, drop me out. No, I'm having it.
Gemma thinks she has seen a ghost.
Oh my God, open that fucking door now.
Right, where's the door? I'm off.
I'm off.
We also pick up on this scene that Saf is going to be moving into the Halls of Residence.
Well, she might.
Well, might, but
temporarily.
She's been teasing that one since season one.
Since Sarah dropped the bomb on that one.
I might go to the Halls, I might not go to the Halls. No wonder your mum's in a fucking state. You're just playing with her emotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what? Saffron, you torturer.
No,
Are you going to Halls or not? Just tell her. Tell her.
Or just go.
Well, you're just going to leave me, are you? You're just going to go? You're not going to stay around and help me, darling?
This whole bit where Eddie's just trying to like tidy up and push people around and make people smaller, and I love it.
This scene where Eddie is losing her shit and she's like, clear all the surfaces, where are all my surfaces?
Where are my surfaces gone? I just want clean lines and surfaces.
This is what I go through every single time we have someone come to the house, and we went through it today because you were coming over, Pete. Cooper gets in such a state. He likes clean surfaces. Oh, and this is what he said to me. I could do upstairs, which means put the guest bedroom and do that. And then he went to me, I'll come up in a minute and I'll inspect upstairs.
Sweetie, darling, if you want to be some help to mum, I'll go upstairs and clear surfaces.
I just like clean things. I feel like when I said to you, when the house was clean, I feel so centred. I feel really lovely.
I mean, she's coming here to London, to this Objet Central, this you.
Just when Eddie's having a ramp, which she has a ramp, Objet Central, and she's like, and she looks at Safi and she says, you. Her face, she like pulls a right mush.
All this is what Patina's going to think so good.
You.
Objet Central, you. She does love to dig Saf like that. Yeah, she was like, this is what I'm going to leave to the world. You.
Yeah, that's right.
You know when Eddie's just losing her shit in this episode? There's something she does in with the way she delivers the lines that is actually really funny. There's a lot of repetition.
Close. Take her with you. Clear her. Eat it, clear it.
See the War of the Worlds juicer is behind Gran over on that side. It never made its way back to the kitchen aisle after that big juicer was there in the hospital episode just for the gag. Of Patsy shredding the newspaper, but it never made it back.
Isn't Gran lovely as well? She's so cute. She comes down, she brings her take a break.
God, I've got enough trouble with surplus furniture without occasional old people scattered around.
So Eddie was freaking out because the buzzer went and it was Patsy, some old sad old Patsy.
Poor dear sad old Patsy.
There's a lot going on in this little exchange between Eddie, Gran and Patsy when Saf says...
Tina and Max are coming to stay for a few days.
Gran, but Tina.
Yeah.
They used to get on so well. Yeah. And Patsy's like...
Did they?
Oh, right, Gran, did they? Were they good friends, were they? Because, you know, Eddie's told me they weren't that close.
Saf is... Like, her face smug.
Saf is...
Look up smug in the dictionary and you'll see Safi right at the moment.
You've got Gran... throwing shade at Patsy.
Far more suitable as a friend than poor dear sad old Patsy.
See, I encouraged it. I encouraged the friendship with Bettina because, you know, I wanted my Eddie to get away from tragic Patsy.
All right.
And then you've also got Eddie looking at Patsy like, oh, so you were friends. And you can see Eddie's like, oh, Just shut up.
Eddie's having a meltdown right now.
She doesn't want this to kind of collide in this way, and Gran's blowing up her shit.
Patsy does come back with a good read, though, for her.
Neat. She was so anally retentive she couldn't sit down for fear of sucking up the furniture.
Flashback. So we are having a flashback.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
To the 60s, 70s?
Somewhere 60s, 70s.
To apparently monochromed Austin Powers.
Yeah. It does look like Austin Powers.
Identical to Austin Powers.
Yeah, yeah.
Eddie and Patsy are visiting Bettina and Max in their white box with silver chimes, white outfits, white shoes, white jacket, white roll neck. Eddie's in black and white because she's dressing appropriately. Patsy's not. Patsy's in a hippie, you know, I'm so glad to be me outfit, just strolling down the King's Road. But she's like, all right, I'll come around Bettina and Max's. But Eddie, because what Eddie is trying to impress Bettina and Max, because Eddie always wants everyone to think she's cool, think she's in. Eddie is usually more worried about what Patsy thinks of her.
Yes.
As long as Patsy thinks it's cool, it's cool.
But someone, inverted commas, cooler is on the scene.
Someone cooler. Yeah. Bettina is cooler than Patsy, so that's why Eddie's wearing black and white. She's got her hair tied up in those Princess Leia buns under her little hat.
She's neat, minimalist.
And she's being all cool. Patsy probably realises, she's like, why is Eddie changing who she is to fit in with this Bettina girl?
This is great. Bought you this.
Do you know what? The more I'm drinking the Verve, the more I'm getting real, like, strawberry flavours out of it.
I can do strawberry flavour.
Oh, and I don't think that Hashif is going to be the same. Oh, you're more comfortable now, sweetheart.
They were rubbing my crotch.
Oh, Cooper's changed his clothes. So when we film the late night sessions, we do it in our panties and bra. We're all sat here. It's like a pyjama party.
Let's play spin the bottle.
It's just the three of us.
We like it. We think it's the new millennium.
The new millennium.
Does Eddie like nearly do a curtsy?
So she does. She kind of curtsies.
A little bit.
So when Eddie passes the bottle of red wine to Bettina in the white room, she sort of curtsies.
Yeah.
Well, and Eddie and Patsy are like, well, are you going to open it?
And look at, that's not quite a white box because there's all gross. Smudges it's up gross. The wall, black marks. Where
smudgy bars.
Smudgy bar marks up there.
I love
and
when
the subtle nod, she's like, looks at Max and then she's not. Like...
It speaks volumes. No. It looks like it's a tiny little head, but in that little head, she's actually saying, if you fucking leave that wine bottle there, I am going to kick off.
Yeah. She's not happy about where that wine bottle's placed.
Yeah.
Bettina is dragging Max for putting that
with
bottle
that
down.
With that tiny little head.
But with minimalism, with a little shake of the head. And look, when Eddie walks past that picture, they match. Black and white picture, she matches.
Yeah.
Eddie's earrings... totally match the picture.
Screenshot that's really good. I like
in
that.
Bettina and Max's house. Eddie has really thought about her outfit down to the last detail.
I want to show you my jewelry collection.
All Eddie wants to do is fit in with the cool crowd. That's all she ever wants to do.
We're back in the kitchen now. The dream sequence has ended and Patsy has made a fool of herself.
Yeah, when we come out of that dream sequence, Saf makes the remark about, funny how those chimes hit you in exactly the same place behind each ear.
That smug.
Saf.
Smug. That bit with Saf. Eddie says, you know, like, Patsy wants Eddie to defend her.
Well, go on. You were going to tell this little trail of cat sick that I was badly injured.
No, I wasn't telling.
Yeah. Go on, tell this bit of cat sick.
Tell her.
I was badly injured.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. And Safi's face, so smug. Go and do what mummy says.
It's like Safi leveled up in smugness.
Yeah,
She's got level 2 of smugness and she has pulled it all up.
Level your smugness up.
Level your smugness.
Smug.
Well, you could go too, you know, darling.
I think this bit is quite cruel. Patsy has come to see Eddie, as she does
every day,
we should imagine. And Eddie's like quite dismissive, like, you know, making her look neater. But then she's like, well, you could go too, darling.
No lunch then, Ed?
Oh, not unless Bettina arrives early, in which case I shall have lunch with her.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, you don't want me around.
No lunch. And I won't be having lunch unless Bettina comes. Go to lunch together. You can't mix the friendship circles.
Yeah. In life, the mixing of the friendship circles is a very tricky situation.
Yep.
And I'm very much one for keeping my different friendship circles like compartmentalized. Eddie's got a friendship with Bettina. Eddie knows Patsy doesn't really like Bettina. So for Eddie, having a situation where she's got to try and please and appease both of those.
Yeah.
We saw how well that went in the flashback.
I think it's more that Eddie knows that Bettina doesn't like Patsy, not Patsy not liking Bettina. Because Bettina says, do you still hang about with that old drunk? And she's like, oh, nine again.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Eddie still thinks Bettina's the cool one.
Yes.
She's going to hang out with Bettina. She doesn't want Patsy to bring her down.
No. Nope.
She doesn't want to be embarrassed of her friendship with Patsy. So she's got a new friend who's like, oh, do you still hang around with that old skank? And she's like, well, I don't, you know.
I sort of think that worrying about friendship groups mingling was like something I worried about when I was a teenager.
But I don't feel like Eddie deals with it the best way here, because she's quite mean to Patsy, because at the end of the day, Patsy is a skin and blister. Patsy's there through thick and...
What the fuck does skin and blister mean?
A sister.
Sister.
He hasn't got there yet. He doesn't know
skin
it.
Skin and blister.
Blister. Sister. Blister.
Two-way twister.
I didn't know it was a two-way twister.
Didn't know how much I missed you.
Didn't know I popped that blister.
Do you know what Patsy resorts to here, which we haven't seen Patsy do yet in season 2, which she did a lot of in season 1?
The baby. Cutesy
baby. Yeah. They did it loads. They did it in Birthday, in the one when Justin came round and he had the...
She did it to Safi.
They resort to, when they can't get what they want, oh, I'll just play child and cute.
It's lack of confidence in what they're
doing. But we don't usually see them do it to each other.
No, so that's quite interesting
to see.
It's the first time I think you've seen it. To Eddie.
Can I borrow the car? Eddie is not having it.
No.
That's picking Bettina up from the airport.
She's like, do you know what I'm trying to deal with right now? I've got things on places.
Yeah. That shouldn't be. Those plates need to go. Yeah. Why would you have your plates out on the freaking island?
Because then they're ready to go.
Because Eddie's house is like a show house. She sees her house as a showroom.
Well, she needs to get rid of them bloody curtains.
Eddie sees her house as a showroom for all of her objets.
Yeah. Those curtains are not showroom.
No. Do you know what?
Those curtains are like kids' bed.
They're like kid bedroom curtains. Yeah.
If I was going to put money on that those curtains in the kitchen were gone by season 2, but they're not. I'm very disappointed in you, Adina Monsoon.
Maybe we should post something. These curtains, are you yay or nay for the curtains?
Are Adina's curtains... Chic or shit.
I reckon they're shit.
I reckon they're pretty shit too.
Leave that curtain shit at the door.
What's the matter?
When Eddie asks Patsy what's the matter, because she's clearly upset, and
I'm not happy.
Patsy's like trying to be honest with her. Her head's down. She feels bad. She doesn't know how to express this, but she's like, I'm not happy. And Eddie just couldn't care less. She's just like, ugh.
I think she could care, but she's like, for fuck's sake, I don't need this in this moment. We know how frantic Eddie, and Eddie's like,
she
stressed
doesn't care
out
enough.
She doesn't care enough, but she's just like, in this moment, Patsy, I just need you to go. I don't need you to be here giving me like brain damage.
Just brain just damage.
And that's why
if you were my best friend, you would understand why I'm stressed out, because I feel like I've got a better friend coming. I mean, that's a head fuck for Patsy.
Like, Eddie doesn't know how to deal with stuff, because that's why Eddie's just like, oh god. She's just like stressed out. Just go, just fuck. And that's why Eddie pinches her.
Pinches
to get her to go.
But she says you can have the car.
But what a thing to pinch your mate to get him to go.
Well, I'll take the car. Just go.
I don't want the car.
That's when Eddie lashes out and pinches Pats.
Mean.
So Patsy leaves, knocking the ashtray.
Storms out,
up the stairs. The candles go.
Bugger off. Come on, bugger off.
You're best friends. What are you doing? Like, don't fall out over this. And it's like when people who are...
Especially for what arrives.
Besties and you're close. Why are you falling out over this stuff?
Because sometimes people think the grass is greener.
We are now in the office. And it's interesting, this time we're really in the bowels of the magazine office. We're at Patsy's place of work, because when we saw it before in season one in the magazine episode, we were obviously in like
that office building.
It was like a meeting room.
We were on the wrong floor as well.
We were in a meeting room. We were in like a boardroom, sat around. This is in the working office where everyone's PCs are great big screen PCs.
The size of the monitor back.
It's massive.
That's massive. That's what they were like.
And they're all there. They've got desks full of paper. Everyone's in there. We get to see loads of characters.
VD unit.
Fleur and Katrina are having an exchange here about...
Did you go to the spas last week?
Going to the spas. Yeah. And there's something that they say, and I'm not quite sure exactly what it is. They say, I can't make it out.
In Florida, yes. I did the fasting cure.
Oh, cure. I did the fasting cure.
Oh, cure. Is it the cure you're fasting or something?
The fasting cure.
The fasting cure. Is it to cure your fasting?
so stupid.
It'd be funny.
What is the point of asking me whether I pack my bag myself? Oh, no, I let some total bastard of Middle Eastern fool me.
We're now introduced to the lovely Joe Brand character.
So Mira Sayal's character is Susie.
Yeah.
Harney, darling, would you get that?
Harney and Susie.
That's Susie. Joe Brand's character is Carmen.
Carmen?
Funnily enough, we talked about Carmen before.
We're booking high tonight.
See, she's the travel correspondent by the sounds of it.
I'm a journalist.
She's a journalist. And an interesting anecdote, I've actually served Joe Brand at the Apple Store. I fixed one of her bits of technology at the Apple Store.
Did she love
it? Yeah, I did, in Bromley. And she was absolutely lovely.
Talking of female comedians, we've got the... wonderful Mira Sayal.
Goodness gracious me!
Before we knew who she was, before it's years before.
Can
goodness
do that.
Gracious me! Goodness gracious me would have been what, the late 90s.
So funny! What a funny
mid
show.
To late 90s. So I think this is like before that. So she's playing Susie, but in this one, she's obviously meant to be working at the office. Patsy's coming. We know that Patsy has some clout around the magazine.
Yeah, she does. They're scared.
Magda's the top dog. Yeah. They're obviously out, and Patsy's come in, and Susie's like, shit. Harney, you know, what are you doing? And they're playing some video game.
Is it my turn yet, Harney? Or did you get to the castle drone on level 3?
The castle drone?
What is the video game Susie are playing, where she's trying to get to the castle drone on level 6?
It looks like a Spectrum Sinclair game.
It looks like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, some game.
You see Susie's outfit, that like orange baggy shirt with like
the waistcoat.
An applique furry waistcoat over the
gross.
Top. I used to have an outfit like that when I was about 12.
Do you know what? I've got a photo of me. You told me about that. An outfit with the green shirt.
Oh, I know.
You've seen
it.
This outfit, I went to a wedding when I was like freaking in my teens. A green shirt, long, with the trousers. And then the waistcoat.
You looked a bit like Joe Brand.
Looked a bit like Joe Brand. And then a Tasmanian devil tie.
It's a good job we didn't meet back then.
It's a good job I didn't meet you as well. I've seen your photos.
Oh, yeah. Christ, the two of you. I mean, I was gorgeous. When
me
I was
and my
that
troll.
Age.
And Cooper just did a little limp wrist sign.
Justified, to be fair.
There's a picture of you in that sperm outfit, but you were meant to be an otter or something.
Oh my god,
perfect.
I was 8 years old and I was...
Gay as the day is long.
Yeah. I was in a local production of The Wind in the Willows.
Oh, yeah,
and I
of course
was
you were.
Portraying a...
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
No, I was... I was a ferret and I was wearing a white long sleeve sweater, white plimsolls, white leggings, which were baggy because I was so skinny, and a furry white headpiece.
What's she doing there?
Flag snapped her from Maui Clark.
So we get another little nugget of intel here referring to Bubbles' meteoric rise to success. Eddie has got rid of Bubble. She said she's taken on some pathetic junior role at Marie Claire. And now we find out from Fleur that Magda for the magazine has nabbed Bubble from Marie Claire. Bubble is on the way up.
Mm-hmm. She really is.
She's not stopping there.
There must be more going on than meets the eye.
I feel like you sort of know that the shade that she gives in the way, because she switched on and she slags people off when she needs to.
But
she's sort of a bit like Gran in that way.
But I think we know that with hindsight. But at the time, you wouldn't have known this. And at the time, the joke is, oh, she's been, you know, back nabbed from someone else. Ha ha ha, how funny. But keep your eye on Bubble.
I mean, to be fair, I feel like it's not bad to think that she's a total ditch. She's sitting spinning in the chair.
Yeah.
Does Eddie know you're here?
Are brilliant people sometimes the weirdest and the maddest?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Leon, you're trying to tell us how much of a genius Bubble is, and she instantly falls off the chair.
But I don't mean an intellectual genius.
No,
I mean she's got something.
Yeah, no, I know.
But it's she's just a funny. Prat.
I'm not completely useless, you know.
So Bettina and Max arrive, and Bettina...
Like a fucking hurricane.
Oh, Christ, Max, we only had those four bags and the Moses basket.
Destruction.
Yeah.
Holland Park is the epicenter of Hurricane Bettina.
Yeah.
And this is not the Bettina of the millennium.
No. So it's like... Eddie, when did you last speak to Bettina? Was it the 60s?
What were you expecting?
Yeah. When did you last speak to this woman?
That's a really good point.
And when did you last go to her house? Eddie was renovating Bettina's apartment.
Yeah.
So she knows.
But maybe Eddie was just renovating Bettina's, what they call it, pied-à-terre in London, her bolt hole in London, where actually Bettina and Max live somewhere else. They live in LA or they live in New
York.
And
it could be that any time Bettina spoke to Eddie, she didn't mention a baby, because we know from later on that Bettina's like, I'm not just that baby. I don't need to always talk about that baby. Yeah. So maybe she just never brought it up because she's so fucking fed up of it.
So Eddie's been living with this
image,
this fantasy of Bettina as still being Bettina of the 60s, but
with the white
minimalist
box.
Bettina in the white box of the new millennium.
We think it's the new millennium.
But actually, as we can see, Bettina is a frazzled middle-class mum of one.
Chain-smoking.
New mum.
Older mum as well.
Older mum. Yeah, she's not a young mum. She's an older mum, which has a whole other angle to it. Eddie is, yet again, shook.
Just instant deflation and regret and just like... Why did I even bother with all that stress when this is what's
Eddie's
arrived?
Like, what is this? Who's just come? What's all these bags? All these boxes?
All the baby toys, the crib.
I freaked out because my plates were sitting in my kitchen, and now these two have just exploded all over the hallway.
And Bettina doesn't even see all the mess, because Bettina's like, we only had the four bags and the travel cart and the Terry whatever bag. And don't you just watch this? People with kids.
No.
Don't you? It's just too much. You know when you go around your mate's house and it was like a friend that you've had for years, or like a friend who's quite, you know, into their home decor or their style, they always wear stylish clothes, and you go around their house now and they've got all these kids and you're just like, it's a madhouse. They've got all these, you know, you go around somewhere and there's like the toy box is tipped over. There's all Lego on the floor. There's all these dolls with no clothes on and rat hair.
Marks all over the walls.
Up the walls. Child people, they're too much. I can't deal with it. Bettina's got a fag on while she's holding the baby.
Just
she's
right
got a fag on, breathing right in the baby's face.
The smoking around the baby is probably like not unusual for the 90s.
No.
I feel like my dad smoked in the house all around as we grew up.
Yeah.
Now, with my nephew and niece and stuff, my dad would go out the back door, but he never did that when we were young.
Really? I remember
smoke in the living room. Yeah,
being in a house full of smoke because my mum and my dad smoked, and you'd be in the air, you'd smell it all the time.
He would smoke in the car with the windows up.
Holding the baby and smoking. Yeah. And it's funny because Bettina and Max are portraying these like middle class parents.
I don't know why we don't do what Jocasta suggested and keep him awake. Then he might sleep through the night.
Oh, Dr. Bloody Spocasta!
If you were to watch something now with middle class parents, like we just finished that series, Motherhood.
Oh, Motherhood, yeah.
Motherhood
brilliant.
on Netflix. Middle class parents wouldn't be holding their baby with a fag on. I guess that now would be like a working class sort of trope, like to take the piss out of.
Mm-hmm.
But here is Bettina, fag on, itching her. She must have like a feeding bra or something.
Oh, she's got, yeah.
And she's got a fag right in the baby's face.
Is he awake?
I love it when Bettina and Max are like shitting themselves over whether he's awake and whether he's awake, and Eddie's just like, do you want to put that down? Like, there's no, it's not a person.
Just, do you want to just put that down, darling?
Oh, no, he won't go down now.
Remember how we used to be? Just pop that down, it'll be fine.
But this cracks me up because literally, if ever I say to Cooper, if we're like,
oh, say we're trying to carry shit in or we've got loads of gear, and I'm like, Coop, just put it down for a minute. Like, whatever it is, like some object, like, just put it down and we'll go to each other.
He won't go down now.
He won't. Go down now.
We still say that.
Look at her, so stressed out.
Bettina still ruling Max with a look when he suggests that he might have a glass drink, of Bolly when they're on their way down.
But how are you going to feel if you drop him or something happens and you know you've had that drink?
So we have a quick moment back to the office. We see Hamish, played by Adrian Edmonds.
Oh, yeah.
Husband of Jennifer Saunders and the inspiration for the name, the original name, Adriana Monsoon.
Oh, I've just been hearing all about their wedding as well. Because I've been listening to Bonkers by Jennifer Saunders.
What did you find out about the wedding?
And the wedding was put together in a short space of time by their mothers, and it was all very nice. And Jules Holland played the piano at their wedding.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Tickle Fingers.
Yeah.
Were they sponsored by Cadbury's?
Yeah, could that new flake. My God. Yeah. No.
Who was that? You, that was Amphia Turner. Gosh. With the flake, they're holding the flake. So bad.
And this wedding, it was like the who's who of British comedy, obviously. But yeah, it's such a funny book. I'm going to get it on the audio. Yeah, it's good to listen to because
sure.
Jennifer obviously narrates it. It's funny.
Oh, like that. Shh.
Honey, darling, could you get that? Get that, honey. I can't. Somebody get it!
Why is Honey ignoring her?
Because Harney's a bitch.
Why is Harney such a bitch?
I mean,
your colleague who you play the video game with, Susie, is asking you to pick up the phone and she's just leafing through.
It's because she hasn't given her a go in a while.
Treat the lesbians.
This is Wheels on Fire, late night.
Late night.
She's a lesbian.
Harney, darling, can you get that? Get it, Harney.
Oh, Miss Honey.
Honey. Miss Honey.
Miss That's Honey, darling.
Miss Honey.
Miss Honey is ignoring Susie.
She could.
Totally. Yeah. She could care less.
She could care less.
Miss Honey is a bit of a fake friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But maybe they couldn't pay her for a speaking part.
Yeah. Pick up the phone, Miss Honey.
She'll definitely, if she spoke, she would have had to get paid.
Yeah, so she's just paying it in silence. Oh,
she's been a rude bitch.
She's been a bitch.
Max is out for lunch.
What are you gonna do?
Remember in the last episode in Morocco, we said Patsy had hair of amygdala proportions.
Yeah.
Big time, like the beehive is in full effect.
And look at the size of it.
Have you noticed so far in season two, a lot of Patsy's outfits, they're quite... In season one, we had a lot of flowing, floaty outfits.
Is this not quite
scarves
flowing?
And... Well, it's flowing, but they're like long...
Yes. Long draped
very
kind
elongated.
Of outfits. Yeah,
things
elongated,
that go
that's
from
the word.
Patsy's shoulders to ankles, long, these kind of like long floor length cardigans or long and lean.
Patsy looks so good there.
It was cesarean in the end. Nothing to do with my age.
So we're back in the kitchen now and Bettina's doing her sterilising the bottles and all the washing up, and we're seeing just the kitchen is in turmoil.
Absolute mess.
All the spaces, the clean lines are all long gone.
I've got anxiety looking at it.
I can imagine.
Things are definitely on places right now.
Plenty of things. The talcum powder, the terry bag, the nappies, the bottles, the bottle steriliser. It's all out. There's a bottle of champagne open. Eddie's sat there with a flute of champagne, not a tulip. Yeah. You know,
well,
come on, Ed.
This is
the 90s, but we're into the tulip glasses now. Makes champagne tastes better, but and it's like it's a whirlwind. But if you listen to what Bettina is saying,
I lost the weight almost immediately, which of course doesn't happen if you have them younger. I mean, you've never lost it, have you?
Bettina still has that mentality that she's fucking cool on the cusp of everything, like fashion wise like just everything, because she's dragging Eddie for not losing the weight, for having a criminal dress sense and all these things, but really she's a friggin' mess.
Yeah. And you know what Bettina's doing? I think Bettina's arrived in this world
the Eddie world, the Eddie household, the Monsoon household, and she's thinking, she's feeling a bit shit about herself. If so I what she's doing, she's trying to make Eddie feel shit about herself. She's like, you never lost the weight, your criminal dress sense, yeah, putting her down.
Is it trying to make Ed, is it trying to bring Eddie down, or is it trying to convince herself that she's not actually got it that bad?
Was that I disagree with either of that. I just think Bettina thinks she's shit hot.
You think?
I think, yeah, because she's got this kid, she's got the husband, she's got all of this. I don't think she cares for Eddie's life.
Maybe she's just got an elevated sense of herself. Maybe she's never had, like, let's be honest, when she lived in that fucking white house with those chimes, she didn't really have everything. She had some chimes in a white room. Yeah. So maybe she's just always the type of person that's just thought that she's shit hot when she's not.
I think those people, when you've got those friends who like to remind you, you know, they've got the husband, the wife, the kids, they've got this, you know, you're just doing your little, you know, when you've got friends who be like, oh, you know, if you made another one of your little videos, or, you know, oh, you're doing your podcast, how cute, you know, I've got my kids and my family.
Oh, is your child shit in your lap today?
Yeah. And you're like, you know what, I wouldn't trade my life with yours for anything. And I think Eddie is sitting here now looking at Bettina and she's thinking, do you know what, I'd rather be out having a laugh with Pats. I'd rather be out having a bottle of champagne.
What was I even worried about?
Yeah.
Why was I making an effort with this tragedy? Yeah.
Why am I trying to crack on with this Bettina, who I thought was something cool, and she's really not. And if anything, she's sitting there mugging me off.
You seem to get away with it somehow, despite your criminal dress sense.
And although Patsy might mug Eddie off from time to time, at least it's her best mate.
Yeah, that's right.
And she's literally about to ask me where she should put that bag of shit. This is not someone I aspire to be.
Yeah, the dirty nappy bag.
Eddie just throw it on the floor.
Eddie's like, just chuck it. I swear to God, honestly, as if it matters. At this point, who cares?
So the most
speak loudly. I'm going to wake him.
This is like the most obscure line, because it's just the baby monitor and Max going to Bettina, have you got it on?
Please, any other listeners who say this all the time, Cooper and I say to each other all the time, have you got it on? Have you got it on? We're talking about, like, it'll be like, say, like, Cooper's out, he's going to mow the lawn, and he's got the lawnmower out there, he says, well, can you plug the extension on, and I'll come in and plug it in the wall, and then one know if it's turning, here we go, to me, have you got it on? Have you got it on?
It's really obscure, and I don't think anyone else probably said it. We prove us wrong. I don't think we're the only fucking knobheads.
Please
who
tell
say
us, do you say to each other, have you got it on?
Oh, Bettina.
And again, Bettina, alcoholic. So she's put Eddie down now for what she wears.
Yeah.
She's put Adina down now for her weight. She said, you've never lost the weight. And now she's putting her down for her friendships. Do you still see that old alcoholic?
What, Patsy?
Bettina's not a nice girl. And no. I think when most of the time, when people are like this, when people talk to you in ways that put you down, it comes from a place of their own insecurity. Ooh. They're jealous of your boogie.
100%.
They think in some way you're living your best life and they're not. Bettina ain't living her best life.
No, certainly not.
Max, who shags other people, and she's trying to make Eddie sit there within her turmoil and feel like, well, yeah, you know, my life's still better than yours.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, do you still hang around with that old alcoholic? Or you've never lost the weight? Look at your dress sense. Because really, Bettina's thinking, shit, Eddie's looking at how much of a mess my life is.
And Eddie's dressed in designer wear. I guarantee that Bettina's not wearing designer outfit right now. Yeah.
Shit. Just bring him down. Bring him down now.
So the baby monitor, the baby starts crying. And it's weird.
It's such a brilliant scene. Well-observed scene.
Holy shit, by the way. Look at Bettina's face there. She looks like a Babadook.
Oh, my God.
Babadook.
We need to take a picture of that.
That looks like something out of The Conjuring.
SMA.
Fuck me.
This whole scene, when the baby starts crying, Max brings it down. Bettina slams the fridge door shut.
Max is trying to get the champagne
out so it doesn't shut. Yep. And then they're doing the SMA. Quick, get the bottle, mate. Shake the rattle. Bottle chemicals.
And then trying to teach the baby words.
Yeah. Mummy.
Mummy.
Because they're middle class. They're wanky middle class parents. And although they're barely keeping their heads above water with being parents, they're still like, oh, hang on. What was that book we read by Jocasta? We need to teach him language right now. Yeah. Get the cards. Mummy.
Say the words as well.
Yes. Mummy. Very, very tired, Mummy.
mummy.
They don't know how privileged that... What privilege? what privilege for parents to be keeping their head above water, but they're able to fly you from LA or wherever they've come to London. They've got the music center. They've got the travel cot. They've got the cards with the words on them. They're going to try and teach you language when you're a baby. And this is why people get ahead.
Mm-hmm. Eddie isn't taking this. Eddie She's going.
Eddie can't take this no more.
No.
I won't work my looks no more.
But like, imagine if you'd invited friends over to stay and then you just abandon them because
But they're not engaging them. With Eddie. All they're bothered about is the kid.
No, I know.
But Safi's there.
It's just a bonkers situation.
Yeah, but they're staying with her. She's like, do you know what? Sort yourselves out. Get your kid to sleep. Aww. Do your feeding, whatever. I'm going to pop out. They're not going to have lunch with Eddie. Eddie's got to eat. She's like, do you know what?
It is kind of like you've invited your friends around. You've done a runner.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy.
They're not real friends. They're friends. That's the thing. Yeah, they're people she used to know.
Somebody that you used to know. May I ask a question at the start of the next scene?
You may.
What is Susie supposed to be doing?
She's throwing stuff on the photocopier, just making like a collage or something, I think.
Oh, because she says she's working and then Eddie bursts in.
Because she was actually working.
Susie is so used to bludging. She's usually just playing the game. She's playing the Castle Drome level 5 with Honey. With Miss Honey. And she's so used to doing that. And normally when someone walks in, she quickly jumps up from the computer game and goes back to her work.
Yeah.
But in this case, just for once, she happened to be doing some work. And Eddie walked in, and out of her habit, she quickly jumped back to the video game. And
she's like, the wrong way around.
No, that time I was actually working.
Right, yeah.
I don't know why I did that. I was actually over here working.
So Eddie walks in this fabulous jacket. I love the jacket. It's beautiful. It's just lovely. I love the way she walks in. And, you know, after the little bit with Susie, Bubble says, you know, she's just about staying here. She's had enough of staying here, which kind of moves me to think she's had enough of this one.
Yeah.
She's going to go somewhere else because she's done with this.
Bubble's meteoric rise to success within one episode.
No, you can go back to the office now. We've got some work on.
No, I can't. I've been head shrunk.
Eddie's like, you can go back to the office now. There's a few things to do.
And here's the reveal.
And here's the big reveal, which talk about Safi being smug.
Ooh.
Bubble walks out with a full smug swag and shuts Eddie's gawping mouth.
Yeah.
Shut
your mouth.
I've been headhunted
by Vogue. Is that a magazine or something?
So Eddie can't even believe it. Eddie's like, what?
Because Eddie's like, you're a fucking moron. What are you on about? But like I said, she might act like an idiot, but creative genius can often come in the form of an idiot. So she's gone from Eddie's PA.
But hang about, you don't have to be a creative genius because Patsy slept with the editor to get her job.
Well,
maybe
true.
Bubble did the same.
Would Bubble be the sort to shag the editor of Vogue? Who's
Why
the
not?
Editor? Anna Wintour.
As what? Editor.
So Bubble's gone from Eddie's PA to some junior, pathetic junior position at Marie Claire to Magda having her at the magazine to an editor at Vogue.
Yeah.
In one day.
Yeah.
This is almost like an ISO tank dream sequence, but it's happened for real. So we know that
she's got a good CV.
I quite like when Bubble says she's going to Vogue to be editor.
And she doesn't even know what Vogue is. But she's pretending she doesn't know.
Oh, she doesn't, because she's just Bubble's just about whatever it is that Bubble's
whatever
doing behind
she's
the,
creating.
Is she designing? Is she creating? Is she writing about
graphic
something?
Design.
Something, but she's doing something. She don't care about the brands, the names. Like, is that
I don't
a magazine
care.
Or something?
Whatever I create, I don't care what you do with it. I'm just creating it. If you like it, then you like it.
And
if
whoever's there
whatever.
At Vogue, they want Bubble on board. And she's like, oh, it's Vogue a magazine. I don't care. Because she's not just about the name and trying to be cool. She's, you know, she is it.
Yeah.
Who knew? Not Eddie.
But could it also be that she's just bullshitting and making it all up? When she's like, editor. Is she just bullshitting? But you
that's,
know
let's
put a pin in
let's just
one.
Put a pin in it.
That
I don't know if I know the answer, but let's just say Bubble's not as stupid as she
we
looks.
We do know that. Yeah. We do know that.
And we do get that. And, you know, Bubble.
Toil
let's put a pin
trouble.
In it, like Leon says, and we'll come back in a few years.
The pin is in.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
ouch. Oh, Eddie looks so sad when she's sat in the back of her car, but then when, like, she gasps.
I love her
gags.
Handbag. Oh, look, this bit, I love it.
And Eddie, like, hides her face. She's like, oh, I don't want Patsy to see me driving around.
But Patsy's
caught. Patsy saw her as well. Yeah. I didn't notice that the first time. Yeah.
They've seen each other.
Because Patsy's pretending to go into that shop and she's seen someone she knows. So Eddie jumps out of the car because she's clearly got some shopping to do.
And for once, Eddie gets out of the car feet first. Yeah. She doesn't fall out bum first.
Walk out of the car feet first. I love the efficiency of her shopping. It makes me happy. And I really like this just one shot of... She walks in, it's straight Josie, through the door, Josie. Picks up like 10 bags. She's straight out the other side.
And there she goes. There Eddie goes for a lunch. Lunchtime, she's got all of her bags from Joseph and off she pops to Joe's cat.
Do you think she only took these bags to look like, for the look?
Do you think she just walked through?
Do you think she just bought bags?
Give me stuff, I'll buy it, pay. I just need bags to turn up for lunch.
She bought like a hair clip and she was like, can I have it in a big bag?
Just put in 6 bags.
I love this when Eddie's sitting in Joe's and then Patsy walks in and Eddie's just like, look, you know, reading the small print on her fag packet, her silk cut. Eddie's smoking silk cut. Patsy's obviously behind Eddie, but I think she knows she's there.
Yeah.
She knows Patsy's behind her. She's
Patsy's
seen her
followed
in.
Her.
Is that why she's staring at her? She's clocked her coming in. She's like, fuck, read the packet of fags.
I think it's where they always go. It's their hotspot. They go to Joe's. They've mentioned it a couple of times
to
in the season already.
Spot.
Yeah. I'm gonna get myself to a hotspot. Give you a call about 9 then. and that's where they go. It's one of their places. And we have an appearance from Zandra Rhodes.
Yep.
Oh, Zandra, hi. It's me, Patsy Stone. Yes, I will join you. Thank you, darling.
Zandra's like, what?
Sure.
Look at that woman in the background over Eddie's shoulder, her hairdo, her like frizzy.
She looks like someone and I can't think who it is.
She looks like, oh my God, old school Celine Dion. Well, she had a
teeth fit. That's what it was. Celine Dion from the Eurovision.
Does look like Celine.
Oh, and just, if you pause it at the right moment, just as Patsy walks
see Patsy
off
smug.
Screen
another
with Zandra.
Smug face.
Another clocking. Smug. She gives a look back at Eddie, a nasty, smug look. Yeah, that's right, Eddie.
This episode's got a lot of smug in it.
A lot of smug nastiness in this episode.
Smug.
New best friend. They should have called it smug best friend.
Yeah, smugs.
Hi, Britt. It's Patsy.
So another celebrity introduction. We've got Britt Eklund.
Twinsy.
And I love the... When they meet each other and they sit down at the table, they both touch their hair.
The booth,
because they're both...
Who's got the bigger booth? Battle of the buffs.
Who would win? Who is the bigger buff?
I think if they were like, you know, like when bulls put their heads together and they bash their heads together.
Bash their buffs.
If Britt Eklund and Patsy bash their buffs together.
Filth, by the way.
I feel like Patsy would come off.
Yeah, I think Patsy would win.
Would she come off first?
Yeah.
Britt Pat.
Yeah, I like it. Britt Eklund of which Bond film was she in? The Man with the Golden Gun?
Sure.
So I think that was the one she was. Oh, Wicker Man.
Patsy. Oh, Britt.
Oh, Patsy's fake laughing that she doesn't laugh. Just so everyone can, so Eddie can hear.
Oh, and Eddie's just like, shit.
Yeah. Eddie's looking like, got a friend. Why is Patsy having such a good time?
Yeah.
What's Al?
And we have a classic. Madame from the waiter, and then Patsy corrects with that moiselle because
a lot of moiselles, and we get like at least 3 don't question me's in this episode as well. And we also get Patsy perving on a waiter,
Patsy pervs
because she gives him that
she looks
over
him up
her
and
shoulder,
down,
yeah.
A young waiter,
yeah.
No, thank you, I don't drink. Some water, please.
Oh, just they don't drink. It's so annoying. And Patsy just wants a bottle of red with her.
Well, she has it.
She still gets it.
She gets a bottle of red.
She gets a bottle. She orders a bottle.
She was just a bottle
they
for me.
They all say no. And she goes, just the one then.
I thought she meant just the one glass.
Nah, oh, no. A bottle of red.
I think that's what the joke is. Yeah. Right. She's just like.
She has a bottle of red.
You only need one bottle then.
They're so boring.
Oh, look. It's little Lulu. Hi, Lou.
Lulu appears and gets a round of applause from the audience.
A total round of applause as soon as Lulu appears.
You make me want a lunch.
This would have been hot on the heels of Lulu in Relight My Fire by Take That. So Lulu had like this moment in 1993 with that song. Like a big renaissance. Lulu was hot shit. When Take That got Lulu in to do the vocal on their track. Well, you gotta be strong enough to walk on through the night.
It relit her fire.
It relit Lulu's fire. And that was the moment. So when Lulu walked in here, Lulu's probably been doing all the shows, all the talk shows, all the sofa shows. And she was on. And when she walked into AdFab, people were like... Champagne for Lulu.
Yeah.
And Eddie's delighted. Eddie's like, fuck. And then she's like, yes, Lulu.
Because grabs her. Eddie is like, I've got a top, you know, a top of the bill star sat with me now for lunch.
And not only that, but I know her. She's on the books. I've gotten in. This is good.
But she doesn't remember that at this point.
I mean,
no. She's like, who does your PR?
You do.
Eddie. You know you've only got Smudgy Bars and Lulu. Yeah. Eddie's so frantic at the moment. She's all over her. She's forgotten that Lulu's her client.
But Lulu doesn't even want to have lunch with her anyway. She says, I'd rather have lunch on my own.
No wonder Eddie's losing work if she can't even remember her own clients.
That's right.
Oh, look at Patsy playing up to like pretend she's laughing, smugging again.
Smug.
Look, because she can see that Eddie's got Lulu, so she wants her to be like, well, I'm having more fun with Zandra and Brit. So she's like, oh.
I know, it's cruel.
Wanting Eddie to look and know that she's having fun.
Pay for the meal. Oh, and the champagne. And a substantial donation to the charity of your choice. All right.
It really bugs me that that's the bit that gets her to stay. The substantial donation.
Yeah.
Oh,
another smug.
The smugness.
More smug.
Yeah.
Lulu's like, oh, a donation to my charity. Okay, big smile on her face. Smug. Yeah. There's a lot of smug in this episode. Smug best friend.
Yeah. Look at Eddie's face. Look. How smug Eddie is.
Yeah, look. Then
Eddie's smug.
Smug
as well.
Eddie's
got
smug
because
Lulu sat back
and
down
she's
with
pointed
her.
At her. Lulu.
Lulu.
Babe for Lulu.
Okay, hold on. Before we talk about the line, we need to address my biggest pet hate on the planet.
What?
Clicking your fingers at a waiter.
Oh, yes.
We talked about when that man was behind them on the plane in France, and now Eddie's done it to get champagne for Lulu.
Champagne for Lulu.
Look how smug Lulu is, right?
I know, look at her face. She's can't wait for a dinner.
Smugness. A lunch. Well, she's got all those buttons to hold her in so she can eat all those. I have one of them, two of them.
Two of them.
I have three of them, two of them.
Where did you two first meet?
Lady Jane's. Do you remember? I was having my tits painted.
As what?
To look like tits.
So we're having a little chat at the ladies' table and Zandra is talking about the first time she met Patsy. And Patsy says that she was at Lady Jane's having her tits painted to look like tits. Is this a throwback to her boy years when she didn't have tits?
Oh, maybe it was around the time of the transition. Maybe she got back from that Morocco trip when she transitioned to Pat for a while. Yeah. So she was having her boobs painted to look like boobs.
Yeah, to look like maybe. Boobs.
She's She definitely lives on the spectrum.
Look like tits.
Tits, yeah.
So for the flashback that we get of Zandra... her one session with Pat. Do you think this is a real Zandra Rhodes piece?
I reckon it probably is. These are Zandra Rhodes clothes, yeah.
They're fabulous.
Yeah.
I love it where Zandra's like, pull yourself together, girl. You know, like, and then she lifts up and the string's lifted and the clothes go up and Patsy's freaking the fuck out.
This is another thing you say all the time. If we've like, say like, and this is actually, when we come back to that idea of meeting friendship groups and co-mingling different friendship groups, say sometimes if like you meet one of your friends or something and Cooper will be like, I hardly know her. I just felt sorry for her, Izzle.
Yeah, I hardly know her, Izzle.
I just felt sorry for her.
Patsy looks very Grace and Perry in this scene.
Oh, she does, yeah. Grace and Perry, that dress and that wig.
Mm-hmm.
Very great.
Yeah, very, very much so.
Look, I need that dress out of the sides. What is she doing?
And I like in this scene something we say all the time when he's like, what's she doing? Like, if we're indoors and we're trying to do something and I look at what Cooper's doing, I think, oh, he's not doing it properly. I'll be like, what's she doing?
Get the thing that Cooper's not doing it properly. Oh. Yeah, that's right.
That's delicious, thanks.
Oh, Lulu licking her plate.
Lulu.
I love that Lulu's licking her plate because I always want to lick my plate in the restaurant.
She must have had some good sauce on there.
Yeah, she's licking delicious. That plate.
She's getting her tongue in, she's getting the finger in.
But you know what? If I was Eddie, I'd be glad that Lulu had got her absolute money's worth. Imagine if Lulu had ordered that, one of that, two of them, three. And she never ate it all.
No,
if she just had a little bite out of anything, I'd be like, do you know what? Good on you, Lulu. At least
she's Scottish. She's not going to let it go to waste.
So it's a hearty dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be glad of that.
Yeah.
Glad of it. Watch this, right? When Lulu gets up to leave, just as she's about to go, look behind her at the table. How fab that geezer is at the table behind. He's sat there looking Lulu up and down. He's got his wrist up in the air as if he's just like,
Oh, Miss Honey.
Look at him, he's wicked. She's having none of Lulu and Brit.
No.
So we're now back at the house. Eddie's returned from her sort of semi-successful lunch because she got to lunch with Lulu, but she's still not feeling good about it because they're not doing well.
No.
And down comes Saf. She plunks her bag down. And Eddie's sitting in the chair quite sort of pensive. She's just sort of looking off in the distance. But as soon as she realizes that Safi's arrived, she switches on the, oh, poor me.
Yeah.
She's sort of like...
I only came back because you said it was an emergency.
And the thing that makes me laugh about Eddie, so Eddie's sitting there waiting for someone to see her with the baby sick on her. So she's got the baby
she's left
vomit
the sick on
her.
There.
She's left it. She's obviously thought, I'm going to wait until, I need someone to see this. She didn't just wipe it off straight away. She just sat there and she thought, I'm going to wait for Saf to get back so I can make a scene out of having this baby sick on me. But what shocks me even more than that is that this tells me at some point, Eddie was like holding the baby.
She must have.
Eddie was like bouncing the baby, cradling the baby. Like,
yeah.
Who are you, Adina? I can't even imagine Eddie.
That's why you don't see that bit, because that is not one thing you need to see.
It would have looked weird to see.
La Croix. Baby spew.
Poor Eddie. She's got baby spew all over her La Croix. But Eddie cleans the sick off as soon as Saffy comes.
So, yeah.
Because all she wanted was the drama of Shane's...
Showing Saffy.
Look
she
what's happened.
She couldn't wait to get the sick off that La Croix.
She probably sat there for an hour.
Do you think it's maybe fake? It's maybe just like... She just like plunked some porridge or something on her?
Yeah,
if
maybe.
You look, in front of Eddie on the table is a jug of some sort of mixture that looks exactly the same as the supposed baby spew. It's probably just mixture.
Maybe
she's
Eddie's
put it on.
She's never held the baby.
She's just using it to justify getting rid of
that
him.
And
that makes more sense than
that makes much
her
more
holding
sense.
The baby.
Eddie didn't hold the baby at all. It's not baby spew. It's a bit of formula mixture and she just wants the drop. She wants an excuse to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So she's waiting for Saffy to come in. She's like, we're going to have to get rid of him.
Call Saffy back from the halls because it's an emergency.
Yeah.
I thought she was your friend.
She is my friend, darling. But no, it's just the baby this, the baby that.
Superficial.
Bettina was a superficial, like, transitional friend. She wasn't a real friend.
Yeah.
You know when people post and they're like, oh, you know, I want kids. I'm just like, oh, don't.
No, don't do it.
Shut up.
No.
He's gone to sleep now in our bed. So Max can take the sofa tonight and I'll take the travel cot.
Oh, Max and Bettina come sloping back down because they've got the bloody sprog to sleep.
Yeah, well, the doctor's been round.
He's asleep now. He's in our bed.
Frazzled.
They're absolutely frazzled. And you know what? I'd just be like, why did I invite these people to stay? I can't deal with it.
Eddie thought that as soon as they walked through the door.
Yeah.
Man. And this looks late and Gran's there, Safi's there now.
It's poor Gran's been doing
Gran's there trying to sort it out and she knows Bettina's taking them. She's ridiculous.
Gran's like, Bettina does seem to be making a fair. Oh, look how high Max's jeans are.
Yeah.
So we get a look at Max head to toe when they're talking about how like the baby might have a cold and how Gran's been helping them out. And we get a look at Max's double denim outfit. And his jeans that have quite a lengthy gusset. Like the zip is long.
You could say he's taking it to the max.
Absolutely.
That's right.
His jacket's well too big for him.
Yeah.
And these parents, like, Saf's like, well, why don't you have a nap? She's like, well, this is the only time I get to myself. You can't talk to me about other things.
Sleeping.
Literally, Bettina, from the minute you've rocked up, all you've done is talk about that sprog, about feeding it, about making it sleep, about teaching it how to sleep.
And now you want to have a conversation at midnight.
And now you talk about yourself and about real things at, like, midnight. What?
Just because it's asleep.
Do you know what, Bettina? Piss off back to LA, wherever it is you came from. I can't be doing with
Max
it.
Max has had enough of her. He's
Max
gone
has
to
had
bed.
Enough. Max has gone upstairs for, you know... Not for a sleep.
Do you think do you think him and Eddie have done it before?
I think so. I feel like they've done
it. Do you think he was like, I'm going to turn in? No, wink, wink.
Yeah, because that's the reveal coming, obviously, that we hear on that bloody baby monitor.
So then Eddie goes, I'll leave you to it.
Yeah.
And then Eddie sneaks up the stairs.
So the three ladies, Eddie's gone to bed because she's had enough.
Saf, Gran.
Gone to bed.
And Bettina, she's gone to bed. And, you know, they're just having a little kiki. Trying to, you know, relax her. And, you know, you see a little bit of Bettina kind of...
Loosen up
ever so slightly when they say, Max, obviously, is very fond
of
you.
It's very slight.
It's very slight. The crust breaks a little bit.
The crust only really breaks when Safi says, oh, and he's very good looking.
Very good looking. Oh, so
superficial.
Oh, I've got a good man. My life's still good, even though she knows it's crumbling around her.
And actually, if you look at Bettina's face right there, what is it?
Smug.
Yet again.
Smug.
Oh, but your husband, he's quite fond of you and he's very handsome. Oh, do you think so? Oh, yeah, of course he is. Yeah, my husband's good looking. Smug. Yeah.
It doesn't matter that he's completely fucking useless with the child. As long as he's handsome, then I'm happy.
However, that smug is about to be shook.
Yeah.
Short-lived. It's a classic.
Is that it, darling?
Is that it, darling? So Eddie goes up to get a bit of a ride and that's all she gets.
A bit of a ride.
Not even that. Not even 5 seconds.
He's like a five thrust wonder.
Yeah.
And then he's done.
Yeah.
He must have been so horny.
Yeah.
Or he's just crap in bed.
Well, yeah.
No wonder Bettina's miserable.
Yeah.
If that's all he gives her.
You've got to get it what you can get, can't you, with the baby?
Maybe it's those jeans he's wearing. It's, you know,
so tight. They give him stimulation as he wears them. So high up, rubbing his pussoir.
His pussoir. You know what this reminds me of? You know, when you hear it over the speaker, this is a little bit like, remember what happened on when we went on holiday with my family?
Oh, God. This is one of my favourite stories. It's so the same, but so not the same.
God. It was like a morning, and I'd connected my phone to the Bluetooth speaker, and I was playing some nice morning music, mellow music, while we had our breakfast on the patio. I think we had like a balcony overlooking the sea, didn't we?
Yeah, it was lovely, beautiful.
It was cool.
I was out there, and it was just very nice.
My mum.
Your mum.
My brother.
Yeah.
My mum's husband.
Yeah.
And us, and we were just listening to music. And then I was like, I'm just going to go to the loo. And I, you know, went to the toilet and my phone was still connected to the Bluetooth speaker. But while I was in the loo, I thought, well, I'm just going to have a gentleman's moment, you know, while I'm on
my phone. Do you know what? A gentleman's moment. We were sat out there and the speaker went off because obviously, you know, he went away. And then the Bluetooth speaker started
changed to...
Is that Radio 4, dear?
What do you take from this episode?
Well, hang on. There's one last bit of smug.
Oh, really?
Patsy coming down the stairs because she is now back with her best friend, Eddie. And the smugness on Patsy's face on this bit is legend.
No words need to be said. No. She's just like, we know what we went through. We know we were being dickheads. Mwah, mwah, we're fine.
Yeah. And it's just the smugness.
She's like, I'm back in.
The smugness.
The smugness.
What do I take from this episode?
What was your moral earlier? It was really good.
Which one? Turn off your baby monitors.
No, it was a really like profound one.
Oh.
Did he? There's a couple of things that I take from this episode.
Okay,
one of which is if you're going to have people stay over and they've got kids, put them in the Premier Inn. Put them in a nice little hotel up the road, round the corner. So when it gets to 10 o'clock, you go, bye, sweetie. Bye, Zandra. Bye. And they piss off back to the hotel. And you can then get your clear lines and surfaces. You can sort the house out and you can go to bed. And also with friendship groups, sometimes friendship groups aren't meant to mix. But do not mug off your good bestie for a fair weather friend who comes and goes. If you've got a Patsy in your life, and you know you've got someone flying in and it's not really going to mix and you want to spend some time with your Bettina for a minute, you know, and you don't really want your Patsy around.
Time and a place.
There's a time and a place, but you don't mug your Patsy off to do it because you'll be back with your Patsy in the end.
And also kids ruin your life.
And kids ruin your life. Don't have kids. What's the matter with you?
There's too many people in the world.
Oh,
my moral I take from this is turn off your baby monitor.
New Best Friend is a brilliant episode. It's one of the real high points of season two. And I forgot that it was until we recently came back to watch it again. In fact, it's up there with Morocco in terms of how good an episode it is.
Since watching these later seasons,
you appreciate it.
The show's true genius.
You did. So have I, Pete.
Yeah.
Great. Well, look, it was a good one. It's been a late one.
But we've got a couple of weeks until the next episode, but... On that note.
Oh, we can't go to bed quite yet.
We can't go to bed quite yet.
Oh my God, drum roll, please.
Before we get to the next episode of Ab Fab, which will be poor.
Poor. I can't say that. Poor.
You can't.
We have a very special episode coming up.
Do we?
We were very privileged and lucky earlier this week to have a conversation, an audience with one of the cast of Absolutely Fabulous.
This is a big moment, by the way.
It was a big moment.
For little old us, this is a big moment. Yeah.
Little old Wheels on Fire, the three of us in our kitchen.
Yeah. The world's first and only Absolutely Fabulous podcast.
Yeah. So keep listening to the end of this episode. There will be a little clue at the end as to which member of the cast that is. And tune in to Wheels on Fire next time to hear us talk to a bona fide member of the regular recurring cast of Absolutely Fabulous.
Oh, can't wait. Pleasure.
What privilege.
What privilege. Very honoured.
Before we go, make sure that you follow us on Instagram at Wheels on Fire Pod and Twitter.
Give us a Twitter.
When you finish listening to the episode, make sure you go back and check out the highlights for in Instagram, where we have the highlights for every episode saved at the top of the profile.
On that note, I'm going to say cheers, sweetie.
Thanks, darling.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
Very, very tired, mummy.
Okay, everyone, listen up. This is Wheels on Fire, an Absolutely Fabulous podcast.